You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. My guest is Pan Hamsa. They're the Youth Line Outreach Coordinator for Lines for Life. Welcome to the Exchange, Pan.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Did I get that right? That's Lines for Life?
Lines for Life, and then I'm a part of Youth Line, which is just another part of Lines for Life. So we're directed for youth specifically.
Okay, so tell me the difference.
So Lines for Life is a crisis line, and they provide a lot of services. They have an adult crisis line. They have a senior lifeline. They have a military helpline. But we are specifically for youth, which is ages up to 24. So ages up to 24 can call our specific peer-to-peer helpline.
Okay. So tell me about this work.
Yeah. So we like to destigmatize mental health and support people in suicide prevention and substance use. So we do it from three fronts. We have policy work, we have crisis lines, and then we have prevention programs, which is what I'm a part of. So I do outreach and education, which is connecting with community partners, doing lessons in schools for youth, and, you know, just educating people about suicide prevention.
Okay, so this is not like a normal trajectory for someone as a kid. You don't grow up and say, one day I want to be and do this work. How did you get into this work? Where'd you grow up?
So I actually grew up in California, in Redding, California. And growing up, I've seen the mental health around me, and I've seen people struggling with it. I have my own lived experience, and it's something that I became really, really passionate about. So I ended up going to Southern Oregon University. I got my bachelor's in psychology, and I've been working in the mental health field. But when I got the chance to do something specifically for suicide prevention, I definitely jumped at the chance.
Okay, so you bring lived experience to the issue, to
yeah,
the problem.
Absolutely.
Why do teens call?
Teens call specifically the peer-to-peer helpline because, you know, they're learning how to reach out. A lot of the times people tell kids, you know, oh, it's not that bad. You're young. It's going to get better. But they deserve all the support that we as adults get. And when they call that peer-to-peer helpline, it's an easier bridge to get those resources because sometimes it can be really hard to talk to an adult and tell them how you're feeling. So we have peers that can answer their calls, texts, chats, and it's a lot easier for them to open up and talk to them.
How do we know that this is a problem? How do we monitor what's happening out there?
Yeah, so in Oregon, it actually, one of the leading causes of death in youth is death by suicide. A few years ago, it was the third leading cause in Oregon, and it has actually jumped up to the second leading cause of death in youth.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
I mean, we live in an idyllic place, you know, surrounded by mountains, lakes, and streams, and there's outdoor activities, and, you know, families are moving here because they love this place. Retirees are moving here because they love this place. But there's something else going on in this place that's causing that.
Yeah, I think it's just everything in the world. It's growing up. It's hard to reach out. And there's a lot of stigma around mental health, which makes it hard to speak up and get that help, especially as a youth. So that's kind of what we are working toward, is destigmatizing it, making it okay to talk about it. It's okay to ask someone, are you thinking about suicide? Because that opens the door for them to talk to you about how they're feeling and get that help and support and resources that they need. So that they can, you know, learn how to cope and move through that.
So that seems like a weird question. I mean, that doesn't come up in conversation.
No, it doesn't.
How do you ask that? How do you even know to ask that question?
Yeah, so that's one thing that our youth go through, that our volunteers and do these crisis lines. They go through 67 hours of training work, learning how to see when someone is struggling. I actually just went through this training with them. It's a requirement for all staff within the organization to do the same training that the youth do. They get certified in Safe Talk, which is a well-known program about learning the signs of, you know, warning signs of suicide and learning how to talk to somebody about that. They also get certified in Youth Mental Health First Aid. And 6 months into being a volunteer, they can also take the ASSIST suicide prevention training, which really just helps you learn how to see those warning signs, you know, someone withdrawing, someone being more quiet, someone behaving differently, you know, all these different warning signs. And they can see those and say, hey, I see that you're struggling. I've seen this, this, and this. You know, are you thinking about suicide? And this is something that they're working towards because, I mean, it is community work. It's community prevention. And we teach as many people as we possibly can to see that their, you know, schoolmate or their coworker is struggling and they see those signs, that they can reach out and be that bridge and show people that they're caring. And that's one step towards, you know, helping reduce those rates of death by suicide.
Well, how can parents recognize those signs? And if they do, what can parents do?
So parents can also reach out. They're welcome to call the youth line as well, just to get resources and support. And that's one of the main things that we do when people call our lines. We will try and figure out how we can best gap this bridge through the crisis and get them support and resources to help them work on this in the long term with professionals. And parents can reach out. And if parents notice that their kids are struggling, there's a lot of different places that they can reach out for support. There's the 988 crisis line. We actually also answer those phone calls. So there's different ways that parents can learn how to see those signs and then also, you know, get those resources through the trainings and different community resources.
Okay, so what happens if you see those signs in other people's kids that they don't see?
I think it's, you know, worth having a conversation. Hey, I've noticed this, this, and this in your kid. You know, I've been trained in Safe Talk. You know, it's a nationally, internationally known program about recognizing these signs and being able to prevent it. You know, maybe we can come up with a way to talk to your kid about, you know, what they're going through and see if they need any help or if there's any way that we can get them someone that they can talk to, a trusted adult.
Okay. So, how many calls actually come in on a typical day or week or month?
So on a daily basis, we get about 7 to 9 calls, but that's also the least popular form of contact among youth. Most popular is texting and then also chat, which you can reach on our website, theyouthline.org. And texting is peer-to-peer or teen-to-teen to 839-863. It's about 7 to 9 calls, but with the text, chat, and call, it's about 40 to 70 daily, and it's about 25,000 contacts a year that we get.
Okay, wait a minute. Is that geographically in one place, or is that spread out?
It's anywhere. So honestly, we get sometimes people reaching in from other countries. We get contacts from all other different states, and it's because Lines for Life answers all 988 phone calls. So we are another call center to help answer that national helpline number.
Okay. So how do we know here in Southern Oregon what's happening? I mean, where's the data on that?
So the data on that is mainly just within Oregon. So we don't have specific, you know, data just for Southern Oregon. And that's part of what my job is going to be, is making sure that youth in Southern Oregon know about this resource. That's one thing I've learned, is that Youthline is not as well known down here. And that's one of the things I really want to do. I want to make sure that all the youth in Southern Oregon have this resource and that they can reach out when they need it and they're not left alone.
My guest is Pam Homsa. They're the Youthline Outreach Coordinator at Lines for Life, or is it Youthline?
Youthline.
At Youthline. So what's the objective of the team that fields the call? How do they know that they've done a good job, that they've helped the person on the other end?
What we like to say is that as long as the other person on the other end is feeling heard and validated, then we have helped them. Because sometimes that is really all people need. What we like to say is no problem is too big or too small. You can call in because you're stressed out about a math test and sometimes you just need someone to hear you. And you can also call in because you're struggling with thoughts of suicide. Either way, our goal is to make sure that someone is felt heard and seen and that we can connect them with resources if that's something that they need.
How often can you call in?
anytime, as often as you need to. If you call in at one time and then 2 hours later you get off the phone and you realize you need to call again, you can feel free to call again. Peers answer the phone calls, texts, and chats from 4 p.m. to 10 p.m., mostly because they have school and we want to make sure that they're also being taken care of. But if anyone contacts us outside of that 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. time frame, an adult will take that call and also help them.
Okay, so but mostly this is a youth line. So when someone calls in, they'll be talking to another teenager.
Yeah, our volunteers are aged 15 to 24.
Okay. What if someone calls and they are in distress right away and they need immediate assistance from someone in proximity?
So that is something that a supervisor will jump in. There are multiple adult supervisors on shift and they are constantly monitoring all calls, texts, and chats. They also have a fun little button where they can barge in on phone calls if they need to, because they're the ones that have that professional crisis work, you know, and they're going to take that off of the youth hands and make sure that the youth on the phone call is going to get the proper resources that they need, whatever that may look like.
Okay, so what happens after the call?
If it seems like things are going to be going well, we ask them, you know, please call us again if you need us. We will also schedule follow-ups. So if we know they're going to be having a difficult conversation with one of their parents, if we know they're going to be doing something really hard or they just might need a follow-up, we will schedule a follow-up to follow up and check in on them and make sure that, you know, they're doing okay.
And what's the number?
The number is 877-968-8491 to call. The number to text is 839-863.
Okay. So what if someone just needs a friend?
If someone just needs a friend, then they can call us and talk to us about what they're going through, and we can validate those feelings and emotions and tell them how hard it is to be needing a friend and help them come up with ideas on how they can move out into their community and try and make those connections that they're needing.
So when someone is calling you, a lot of times it's because they can't control the circumstances around them, their environment. What if someone calls you and there's domestic violence?
Then that is something that a supervisor is going to take the phone call, and they're going to make the necessary reports, whether that is going, like if it's actively happening in the moment, that's something where we would call, you know, emergency services. But if not, then we would just be following up on the proper protocols because we are mandated reporters. So it is confidential, but to the max of we are mandated reporters and there are certain things that we need to report, like abuse.
So how are you getting the word out here in Southern Oregon?
So I've been working on reaching out to community partners. I've been reaching out to schools. I'd love to do education classes within the middle and high schools. We do Let's Talk About Youth Line. We do Coping with Stress. And we also just do a suicide prevention lesson specifically for high schoolers. And that's kind of how I'm getting the word out. Just reaching out to as many people as I can, tabling events and spreading the word.
Have you talked to the United Way?
I have not yet.
You haven't talked to the United Way?
No, it sounds like I need to.
Oh, my word. Well, yes, the United Way of Jackson County does a wonderful job, and they have a high priority, along with KLBI-TV, on preventing teen suicide.
Perfect. Sounds like I'll be reaching out to them soon.
So how can people learn more about your program and support you?
So they can go to theyouthline.org. There's a lot of information about us, our history, and ways that they can support us. There's a little tab for parents specifically if parents want to learn more. And, you know, they're welcome to get involved in any way that they can.
Okay, so that's youthline.org?
Theyouthline.org.
Okay. So at the end, as we start to close our show, you're expanding your youth line service to Southern Oregon. Is that right?
We are the community and outreach. So the phone call centers have always been in place, but we've noticed that Southern Oregon isn't as aware of those resources. So,
okay. So we've been trying to handle our mental health issues alone, and there's all this help.
Exactly. So much help available.
Okay. Thank you so much for sharing this important resource.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to share.
My guest was Pan Hamsa. They're the Youth Line Outreach Coordinator at youthline.org.